Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Julie Knudsen with the podcast Training the Pointing Labrador, episode number 106. Today's episode is going to be listener questions, and because I've gotten quite a few of them, it's going to be puppy version. So things that people have asked me, and it's all to do with fairly young dogs, probably mostly under 6 months of age. So I am going to address that and get right to it. I want to say something right ahead of time. I maintain that from when you get the puppy home at 8 weeks to the time it's about 5, 6, 7 months of age, for me, that is the most important time with a dog. I know for most people, that's the fun time, and then we're going to start the serious stuff later on. And for me, it's probably the single most serious. I love that process from little puppy glob that can barely get around to a dog that's ready to start more challenging formal training. I think it's incredibly important for so many reasons. And so I'm going to try to address that in some of the questions that I've gotten. So the first one, I promised this I would get right to it with some people, and who have a young puppy that are having some problems getting the dog to come when it's called. So how do you do that with a 10 or 12 week old puppy or whatever it is? How do you get him to come when it's called? So there's not like, okay, this is the answer. 1, 2, 3. This is how puppies are at this age. Their behavior is a result of everything in their life. They don't isolate like we do. So if you're out somewhere, they're in the backyard and you call the dog and it doesn't come, and you go, oh, I need to get this dog to come. Probably the reason it's not coming has to do with many, many factors. So if we don't address what is in that little dog to make it absolutely ignore that, assuming that you've showed them what it means, then there's probably a lot of things in play. You know, just how the dog's life is and what the interactions are. If the majority of interactions of any puppy are sort of vague and foggy and loving and fun, so that something coming out of somebody's mouth never carries significance, then they're learning that nothing you say ever carries significance. So I don't, you know, it's different in every puppy and every family life, and especially if there's young people and lots of, you know, stuff going on, there's a lot of words being said and things being done in this little puppy, and they don't differentiate. You know, they don't isolate. Just a lot of noise and fun. And so when they have the you calling them, that may, you know, not even register. Or, I mean, that's often part of it. Or part of it is that that you need to take the time to make sure that they understand what your command is. Okay, so I'm going to use here because that's what I say. Whatever command is good. But if you want a little puppy to understand here, a little guy, okay, we can't enforce like later on where we have a leash and we call them and then we use the leash to make them come to us. You can kind of do that with a little puppy, but with the young guys, they don't really understand. But what you want to do, for example, if you're doing a little retrieve with a puppy bumper and you throw it out and they're coming back to you, then once or twice use the word for what they're doing while they're doing it. So if they're running back to you, you know, if little puppy Fang is running back to you, then, you know, you can say, here, when they're coming back, and, oh, good dog. So we began on a little brain through repetition to make an association with the word here and coming to you. So we do it in a passive way while they're doing it. And saying it multiple times does not make it count more. It makes it count less, because then it just becomes sort of noise. But if they're undertaking an action without, you know, they're coming back to you and you say the word here and that happens, you know, every time, then here begins to get associated in a little tiny puppy brain with the action of coming to you. So you want consistency and real simplicity and clarity there. Not much talk. And then a lot of praise when they do come here and they get to you. So that's one way. Another way is when you do have the little guy on a leash, a little collar that can't slip over their head and a little leash, depending on the puppy's ability to understand stuff. And sometimes the little, you know, a 10-week-old puppy can, And sometimes a 14-week-old puppy cannot. So you have to watch the puppy and see what happens. But so when you're out, you've got them on a leash and you're, you know, just going down the driveway or something. And you can have them sit and then just call them to you. You know, just say, use the word here again one time, not multiple times. Don't use their name and a bunch of stuff. Just, you know, just here, and then use that leash. Not, and again, you, it's not like reeling in a fish. Okay, it's not just continual tension on the line till they get to you. So what you want to do is say here with a little jerk on the chain in your direction. And then, you know, if they're not used to that, they might just, you know, stand there and go, what was that? Then you use it again here with another little jerk to you until you see that puppy make a little bit of association. I think I better get over to you. And so it might take a couple days or maybe even more, you know, but usually just a few days where you do that in, I mean, like a 30 second or 45 second spurt, not a couple minutes, because then you're just jerking your dog along and nagging the holy heck out of him. But if you just do it in a little 30 second deal with some hears, and when you see that little dog make a little bit of an effort when they say the word to avoid the jerk, because that's what they're doing. They're making the effort to avoid that jerk by coming to you. And so then you don't jerk and you praise the heck out of them. And so I hope the fineness of this can get through. But so then, you know, they're making effort. They heard the word here and they started to come to you. That's a good dog. Now that doesn't mean you're done, but that meant the light bulb started to kind of power up a little bit. And so the next day when you do your little 30 second thing with that, and you know, you say here and just watch, if they just sit there, then let's do a couple here's with a jerk, right? And then see, are they going to respond to that? And some days they slide backwards. And that doesn't mean all is lost. It means one of those backward sliding days. And then the next day they get a little bit better. So you watch for them to be able to grasp that. You don't start implementing that out in the yard when they're running around, because you can't. So don't call them when you cannot make sure that then they have to execute what it is you asked. So if you're somewhere where you need to be able to call them when, you know, and have them come to you, whether it's because of location or something, then you can have just a real long, you could have a 50-foot cord or a 100-foot cord. You can have a real long cord that's hooked onto their collar that can drag through stuff and not hook up. You know, at the Home Depot stuff, there's a lot of real thin ropes. Be careful. Use gloves. I don't care what kind of thing. Use gloves, because if it ever gets wrapped around your finger or kind of drug through your hand, it can just take the skin off. But have something they're dragging. And then when you need to call them, if you actually need to at some distance, then you got that. And then not by, again, we're not reeling a fish in, but just a few little jerks. And the puppies don't want to jerk. They would rather come to you and then acknowledge when they make effort and praise the heck out of them. You begin to make that association stronger and stronger. At a real young age, you can't just drop the "you got to come here" hammer on them, because they're just too young. But you can create a lot of associations, and by using them in little, very short spurts, and not with a big naggy kind of a thing, but with those little jerks, and pay close attention to what their response is, then you can get them where they understand that a little bit. Now, that said, when they start hitting the teen years, when you start getting, which is, you know, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, some dogs are awesome and they're just great, and others become rebel teenagers and they've never heard the word here before. And all this work that you did so diligently seems like it went out the window because their hormones and everything kicking in, and they just become, it just happens. That's your sign when it's like, all right, now we got to drop the hear hammer, and we're going to do some more formal stuff, and I am going to enforce this, and you are going to have to do it. And then you start your formal obedience. In all of that, whether it's this beginning puppy stuff or this later on stuff, don't ever be in a situation where you need to tell them to sit or to heal or to come to you and you're not in a position to enforce it. If you are not in a position to enforce it, then do not say it. Because sure enough, the one time you do and they just heard something else or just didn't want to pay attention and it worked for them, now we got a precedent set. So the bad habits they learn in 2 nanoseconds, And the good stuff takes days and days. So kind of keep that in mind. And it will change. So you can't make them be perfect, but you just make sure that all of your efforts are always simple and clear, and you make a little bit of gain right there. If you're somewhere where you need that dog to come when you call, then have them drag a very thin little cord so you can always step on the cord, pick it up, and have them do what it is you need to do. They'll get used to dragging that cord around. Sometimes they'll carry it. You know, don't leave it just on them. They'll chew it up. But you just use that when you absolutely have to have them do what you said. So that should help on that one. It's not going to be perfect, but you just have to be kind of consistent. And remember, they're little short 30-second deals. So my next question was, how do you discipline a puppy? Interesting, you know, I'm not sure what people mean. How do you discipline a puppy? How do you, you know, get them to do what it is you want them to do? I assume when people say discipline, they're talking about they're doing bad stuff. And I don't want them to do bad stuff. So how do I punish them, or how do I stop them? So let me say this. This is my opinion, of course. There isn't a way to discipline a puppy. This is what you do to discipline puppies. And, you know, it's all out there. You just throw it out on a forum on the internet, and they're going to have a lot of answers on how you did without having a clue what your issue is. They're going to give you answers. There isn't a way to do it. So for me, the way when you have an animal that is exhibiting certain behaviors that are, let's say it's biting people, little puppy biting people, or it's making, you know, chewing on the mahogany furniture feet, or whatever it is, whatever they're doing, how do I get them to stop? Right? There isn't a way. You can always do kind of big, hard, horrible things, and that'll work. But on any issue where you have a puppy that has having problems, let me take it a step further. This is where people really make judgments. Goodness. They, you know, I would never do that to a puppy. And so that makes that, you know, they're bad and you're good. And there's people just use this something fierce. And I don't have anything in particular that I do with any dog for anything. I let the dog tell me, you know, who really defines how you need to, you know, rein these guys in and control them within reason. They will tell you what works. They will tell you that to which they will respond. And if it's something that they don't respond to, they're telling you, I don't care about that. It doesn't work. So you let the dog tell you what will stop a bad behavior. And let me give you an example. When you take puppies on puppy walks, and that part I told you where they get in between your feet, you know, they just all having fun, and then you get all frustrated, and it's even more fun. So how do you get them to stop to do that? I've had a variety of ways. You know, some dogs where I take the side of my foot and just roll them over to the side. You know, I've had dogs where you do that two or three times and they never step in front of me again. And then I've had dogs that I could do that and they came back like, that was awesome, do it again. So that didn't work at all. And that just sort of egged them on. And they kind of make it, now all of a sudden it becomes part of their goal of the walk is to torture me, trying to trip me. So I've had a few dogs like that. And I would get out like a walking stick. And so when they try that, I'd do the same. Instead of with my foot, I'd put that walking stick across their hip or their shoulder or something. And then have them try and grab the walking stick. That's even cooler. Throw it for me. What? So just a kind of a physical unpleasantness did not do enough for them. I've had dogs where I don't even remember, because I remember a couple that were that way. You know, I wound up getting probably they told me, hey, that's fun. I don't care about that. So I had to up the level, whether it was, you know, making them go a little bit airborne on the side of my foot. I had to find the level at which those dogs said, you know, I'll stop. Same with the barking, same with, you know, attacking the other dogs. You do whatever it takes, whatever they tell you will work. And when what the good intended people on the internet told you, spray them with a water bottle. So if that doesn't work, quit spraying them with a water bottle and find something that they go, oh, you're serious. I shouldn't do this. And then they stop. So the discipline on a puppy, there aren't tricks, you guys. There aren't tricks, because if there were, I'd have every one of them. Because all these dogs are different, just like kids. You know, in my family, I never got one spanking. I never did. My brother got a lot. It didn't make any difference. I don't think there's nothing they could have done to my brother that would stop the stuff he was doing, no matter what. And I never got a spanking because I never needed one. All I had to do was say, don't ever do that again. We're very disappointed. And I was crushed. So fortunately, my parents figured out, you know, what it took for these people. Although for my brother, there wasn't really anything. And there are dogs like that too. So that's why you don't follow somebody's recipe or instructions. You let the dog tell you, you know, I don't like that and I'll stop because I don't want that again. But the real answer to how do you discipline a dog is let that dog tell you what is meaningful to them and that what they will respond to. And those are your answers on those questions. So is people, I would never do this to a dog, as their dog is ripping open their kid's ankle skin. The dog doesn't seem to have a problem doing some bad stuff. So you probably need to find whatever level of, you know, don't do that. You need to do to that puppy to make them stop. That's just the way it is in the animal world, no matter how nicey-nice we want to be. Question 3 here. I know you're saying not to let dogs play, but some should be necessary. Do you really mean that you shouldn't let dogs play? Okay, I'll give this one more go on dogs playing. Here's what happens. This is important. This is what happens. When dogs play, people are happy. They have, oh, look at Fang and Buffy out there playing in the backyard. And it makes them feel good. Just like if, you know, two little kids were out there chasing a ball around together. It makes them happy. And so they like the playing. When dogs are playing, different things are happening in the minds of these dogs. So when you have little puppies and they don't know anything yet, but every day they're learning. Every single day they're learning stuff. Even if your mind is totally not on that and you're just going, oh, what a pleasant afternoon, the dogs are playing. Okay, those little guys are out there learning something right there. Now, different dogs learn different things. So if you have kind of a wild and crazy dog that really amps up and gets very excited about this play, air quotes play, and then they start to get a little carried away, and then they start, whoever one is the dominant one, they start to get real dominant. Okay, if you have a little bit of a dominance thing in a dog and you allow that as a little puppy, as a young dog, to grow and grow, then you're letting dominance grow and grow. And at some point, dominance is going to come into play when you don't want it to. But you let that grow. So that happens. Not me even making a judgment on it. I'm just saying that happens. When you get some of these little ADHD dogs, which are proliferating, something fierce right now. So they have this real wild, chaotic kind of thought. Not focused. Not thoughtful. They don't think things through. They don't recognize a situation and then make adjustments for it, which some very intelligent dogs do. Right? When you got the little wild and crazy thing and you let them go do a lot of activity that requires absolutely no thought and randomness and sporadic and chaos is perfect, as you run over there and then this one chases you and then you chase the other one back and then you roll over and then you bite them in the ear and then you got all this chaotic thought and they tend to that, then we're growing that kind of thought. We are growing and expanding. And particularly if they're having a lot of fun, that just puts the fuel to the flame. So now the chaotic thought just grows more and more and more. And so as this time goes by, you have created a very intense level of chaotic, non-thinking, non-thoughtful, non-focused thought. And there's places in the dog's future life where that's going to make things very difficult. One of them being your trainee, because they're like, no, this is not where my mind goes. My mind goes blah, 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 blah. And you're going, no, you need to walk along here and think and listen to what I'm saying. And it's very, very hard for them. And people get very tough on those dogs because they're not listening and they're not paying attention. After they spent the first 4 months of that dog's life teaching it to just have no thoughts at all, just react, just follow your whim, just do whatever you want. So a lot of times playing can do that. Sometimes dogs like to get carried away and bully other animals. And the domination thing. Now, earlier I was talking about domination, where a dog can, if they got a little bit of a, you know, bully streak in them, mean streak, you know, this will help, this helps bring that out. Other times when you let dogs do this stuff, and it's fun to, you know, they get little, just a little game in there, like grab onto this dog's ear. And if you clamp down, they scream. It's so fun. Or blood starts, or if you grab onto their lip and pull as hard as you can. You know, and everybody's standing there watching that going, oh, look at that. And how'd you like to be the one to have a little razor tooth stuck into your ear pulling? So there's, wow. Even if the older dogs like it, which I still haven't seen the one that did, but I hear tell. Even if those guys are participating and going along with it, that's real disrespectful. And then when little dogs like, it's kind of fun to hurt other stuff. Okay, then we're growing that. We're just, so anywhere in here, based on what's inside the dog's head, I'm having a hard time seeing what the benefit is. I know what the benefit is for everybody watching. It's fun. It's kind of social. And then they're getting exercise and you don't have to do it. You are not socializing dogs, however. You are letting them develop whatever their kind of internal propensity to do is, whether it's bullying, whether it's to just be submissive to other animals so that they just automatically just become submissive. That's their role. And then you teach them that real strongly. Or worst of all, and the part that I really, really hate, is the chaotic thinking. Because that is not useful to the animal. That is not useful to the owners of the animal. It's not useful to any of your goals and what you want to do with this dog. And you will be negotiating and fighting with that kind of mentality in all the other work you're going to do. So maybe because I'm a trainer and I know this because I deal with it all the time, it's a big deal. But the one dog, one person kind of owner thing may not think about that. But a lot of times that's a, you know, it's just not worth it. The gain is teeny tiny compared to what the loss is when you do a lot of that. All right. My next question. I like this one a lot. This is the kind of question I would ask. What makes a puppy happy? I like that. What makes a puppy happy? So, I'm going to talk about what I see people do and I hear people do. But matter of fact, I got one person that asked me the other day, they were thinking about sending their dogs here, wanted to know if I gave it a lot of treats and love because the dog needed that. And it slept in a bed normally, so they wanted to bring a bed, so at least it had that. And they wanted me to assure them that I would give it treats and love. So obviously, as some of my regular listeners know, they must not listen to my stuff. So what a lot of people, for some reason now, and I'm just bamboozled with this, but maybe because I'm, you know, getting on the other side of all the other side of the hill on some of this. What people do with their dogs is shocking to me. I'll just use that word, shocking. So what do animals love? So people think they love being loved and spoiled and given treats and toys and allowing them to sleep on the cushiest of cushy things and be like a person. They get to be like, they sleep on the bed with you. And hey, my wiener dog slept on the bed with me, so I get that. But none of my puppies ever slept on the bed with me, ever. That was an earned thing. And I don't have labs on the bed because they're just too big. But people think that giving them people-y things is a sign of love, right? And it's not. That is a sign of people meeting their own needs and using the dog to do that. That's exactly what that is. So the treats and the food and the beds and the toys and the attention, a lot of attention. People think that a lot of attention to a dog is love. And I do not. So, and also people seem to have a lot of difficulty differentiating between a puppy and a human child. And there is a dramatic difference. between the canine species and Homo sapiens. But there's a big difference between those two things. They are not the same. But people take the canine, and in loving this dog, they do all these human things to it. And the reason is that it makes them feel good. And I've put so many people on the spot, some of you may even be listening, where I said, you're letting your dog do that. Why? Well, he likes it. I said, how do you feel? And when we wind up converging on the fact that it makes them feel good, and that's why they do it. And it's very hard for people to see that why I'm letting this dog do this, or why I'm giving this to this dog, is because of how it makes me feel, particularly food. People really do that with food. Because it feels so good to see them all happy as they create these little monster food monsters. So what do I think a dog loves, a puppy loves? I think that puppies need to, just like human kids, only different. So a human child needs to feel safe, valued, and loved, right? And it takes them, 15, 16, 17, 18 years to begin to reach something that's getting close to adulthood, right? It takes a puppy less than a year to get to this adulthood. So little helpless human children that remain helpless for a very long time, when they grow up amongst all the other things, they need to feel safe and they need to feel loved and all that kind of stuff. Puppies also need to feel safe and they need to feel valued, but they're also growing up very quickly and they aren't human children. So holding them in your arms close to you is not what their mother does to them. And it's what human mothers do to human babies. That's not love to a puppy. That's love to the person holding the puppy. Puppies need to know that they're safe, which means nobody ever kicks them, hurts them, starves them, makes them stay in the cold or the hot or whatever. That they always are assured that, they're never worrying about feeling terrified or being injured. Okay, they definitely need that. They need to trust you and connect with you, and that they must do. And they need to be fed good food, only what they need for nutrition and energy and growth, and nothing more. That's what they need. And they're not supposed to be skinny like running adult dogs, but they also should not be rotund and huge. But what a puppy loves, and this goes pretty much any breed of anything. What a puppy loves is one, that sense of safety and okayness that it would have if it were in its own pack of dogs out in its own natural world. It needs that sense of safety, belonging, and safeness. It needs that. Now, the other thing that the puppy needs is a sense of purpose and a sense of there's a reason that you're here on the earth. They need that. That is more important than what they sleep on. And that is more important than how many toys they have. And how many times you talk baby goo-goo talk to them in the face. Is that an animal, just like we do, needs to have a sense of purpose and meaning in their life. This is where I see people just completely getting their own needs met for this puppy and ignoring them. So what is that? So the walk that I talk about, the walk, when they go out with you, they're with you and they're going out in the field, all right, when they are with their person. So they have a job, and that is to stay with their partner and to be with them. Because eventually when you go out with a grown-up dog like that and something comes up, they'll growl, man. They're going to protect you. They're going to, you're their person, and they're going to look out for you, and they're going to warn you of things, and they're going to show you where the snakes are and the water is and all the best, excrement that's laying out there. So that gives them a great sense of purpose. And then when you require that they fit into the dog pack, that there are rules that they have and there are things they have to do to contribute, and they don't always get their every need met. So any dog in a wild dog pack does not get its every need met. That's not how life is for any of us. And if you teach a puppy that whatever you want to eat, if ever you want to get in my face or sit on my lap or get on all of my stuff, you can do whatever you want, and you never teach that puppy how to cope with fitting into the world it's in, how to manage itself and control itself, then it never feels in control of itself. It never can manage itself. That's for you to do. It's like, you know, you have little King Tut there, and all of you there are to serve it. That's the most unloving, just terrible thing to do a little dog. Never allow it to adapt to a world that it's going to live in. Attention. Attention is good, but not more is better. That is absolutely not the case. So, you know, if you have a dog, structure in a puppy's life gives them a sense of stability, a sense of, okay, I know what's happening and I know what my world is and I know how to be in it. They need that. And if they don't have it, if just every whim is whatever they want and they're in the middle of everything all the time, then that's what they expect. And then when you don't deliver later on, when they get kind of big and demanding, they're not happy. And sometimes they start peeing on stuff or doing things, chewing on something, and you don't know what's happened. And it's because, hey, you're supposed to meet my every need. You're supposed to make me happy, and you're not doing it. If you start with a little puppy and you give them that sense of structure and, all right, here you're right in the middle of the family and we're all paying attention to you, and a little later you're put away into wherever your put away place is and you need to be quiet and it's your own time and we do something different, believe it or not, that gives that puppy, that gives that dog a sense of fitting in, and they got a place and they do things. People that can't put a dog away, oh no, he can't, he has to be here if we're all here. That's ridiculous. That's for them. They just want the puppy there. They aren't doing what's best for it. So giving that dog the sense of that it can manage its world, that it can, whatever's happened, it knows how to deal with stuff. When unexpected things happen, it knows how to deal with stuff. That's a position of power for an animal. Then they're okay with stuff. If they don't, then they're not. Their sense of purpose, whether it's the walk, if it's they're doing two or three retrieves in the morning, if it teach them to bring, you know, the house slippers, puppies and house slippers, usually that's more of a chew thing, but give them a job. It used to be go get the newspaper. I don't think there's really newspapers anymore, but that used to be something you could get these little guys to do. Go, oh, such a big job, such a big job. And then walking on the leash, learning to walk with me, right? And then you walk my pace and you walk with me and then you stop and sit when we stop. That's an important thing. Dogs go, okay, we're going to go do this. And then this is what I do with you. And if you do anything tricky, I can figure it out. That's a sense of, again, meaning in their life. I have stuff I have to do and I have to think and I have to pay attention. And I do this and then, you know, my partner over there is very happy about it. And then I'm very happy about it. That's what puppies love. It isn't sleeping in the bed. It isn't getting a treat. It isn't treating us like we have King Tut as an infant, and we're going to cater to their every whim. And frankly, I'm getting a lot of field dogs in that have come from that life. And it's, I just thought, well, I'm sorry your owners don't think more of you because they treated you like a poodle. And then now all of a sudden, you're supposed to be this functioning field dog, and they don't have these puppy fundamentals of understanding what their place is in the world and how to cope with all the stuff that their lives are going to throw at them, including, you know, if you're going to send it to a trainer or you're going to go board it. Be really nice if the dog went, oh, wow, okay, kennel time. All right, I'll do this. See what's going on here versus, oh my God, I don't have all of my slaves waiting on me hand and foot. So what makes dogs happy? Ultimately, the same things that we do. Purpose, value, a job, stability, knowing, you know, security in our world. We know we're going to be able to have dinner. We're going to, you know, my family's going to be home when I get home. And I've got to clean the garage this weekend. And then I'm going to go golfing on the next day. Puppies need the same kind of thing. And, that's what they love. And if you are the provider of all of those things and you do spend the time, the teaching time with them, then they're very connected with you. You're their reason in the world. You're their reason. But if you spoil them, you are merely one of the slaves there to serve them. And that's got to be one of the most unloving things I could imagine ever doing with a dog. So what do puppies love? That's what it is. The treats, you know, and all that. Again, all of that stuff for the most part is to make people feel a certain way. And all the toys and all the stuff because it's entertaining you. And it makes you feel good. And it's just a very simple thing where you can just kind of spoil it. Because, again, that makes you feel good. But people that aren't teaching their puppies to cope, it's just the same as having a kid. Having a kid and going, okay, I really love this kid. Therefore, he can eat whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He doesn't have to get out of bed. He doesn't have to do chores. I can do them. You know, if he doesn't like school, well, then I'll just get him a tutor or we'll just do some. It, you know, that would be cruelty. And also, that would be, you know, that poor kid is going to have a devil of a time when and if he ever has to get out in the world. But people don't seem to have any trouble doing that with puppies. And in their world, nobody does that for them. Their mother doesn't do that for them, and the pack doesn't do that for them. They got to jump in and contribute. So that's ultimately how they're driven and motivated, and that's what they really like, is feeling like the earth is better because they're here and they got something to do. So those are four of my puppy questions. I think I'm out of time on this stuff. I'm going to get back to some more of the technical training on the next one, and I hope everybody is safe, healthy, and ready for whatever this spring and summer is going to offer us. I'll be back soon, everybody.